This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All righty, now let's welcome in Adam Brenneman. Does a great job. Former college football player. Does a bunch of work with CBS Sports and Yahoo Sports. He's also the co-founder of the College Sports Company, which built athlete-hosted media networks in partnership with NIL collectives at Penn State, BYU, Louisville, Tennessee, and South Carolina. The company recently raised $5 million from Tom Brady's company, Shadow Lion, NBA player Kevin Love, and other investors. Adam, appreciate the time. How you been?
What's up, Zach? How are you, man? Appreciate having me on. Appreciate the introduction. Excited to talk.
Yeah, so let me start you off. The big college football story this week, you know, outside of the draft is coming up next week, was this Nico Iamaleava situation. Now we know he's going to UCLA. That's going to be the next destination. How about how that whole thing went down?
Craziness, right? I mean, I think it's a few thoughts. It's clearly we need some rules and regulation around what's going on with NIL in college football, college sports in general. I think I get excited when I see players trying to maximize their NIL and use leverage. I mean, for a long time, Zach, you know this, coaches and administrators and schools and conferences have used leverage to try to switch, to try to get more money, and the players haven't been able to do it. And now we have players that are actually able to take a stance and try to do that. This thing has been a business for everyone but the players for a long, long time. At the same time, I don't think Nico handled it very well, and I think clearly he managed it at a poor time with some bad advice from people. Both things there can be true, that we want the players to be able to do that now, but also you got to manage it the right way. And that, listen, when you play the leverage game, you take on some risk. There's some risk that doesn't play out very well for you, and that's clearly what happened. I think we'll see pretty soon that there's going to be some regulation. Obviously, revenue sharing is coming to college sports, but just – we got to get the one transfer portal window here and get to one window where everyone then can go through the offseason knowing who's actually on their roster and not having to deal with two portal windows. I sat down with James Franklin yesterday at Penn State, and, you know, he's dealing with the second time now as players can leave and then having to figure out, you know, you're a few months from the season, not sure what your roster is actually going to look like. It definitely gets chaotic.
Yeah, and I know, right, his father and him are very close, and clearly the father plays a big role here on the business front. But, and I'm not saying this is easy, but eventually, yeah, like, you're your own man, you got to make your own decision. I'm not saying you can't consult with dad, like, right, I make decisions, I can still consult with my parents, but ultimately I have to make the decision. It's tough to do, but man, this is a bad decision. You go from the SEC, Tennessee, and I gather you get less money now to go play for UCLA. Which, nothing against UCLA, yeah, but they're not Tennessee, and I understand Tennessee isn't the golden days of what Rocky Top used to be.
Yeah, I'll say this, though. I do think that you don't always know how the situation really played out. And there's been so much he said, she said. You know, I Big Nick, who's, you know, Nico's dad, is very involved in everything, but Nico also has agents and who have conversations. It's tough because we don't really know what happened behind closed doors to hear how the whole thing actually transpired, how it actually played out. You know, but clearly it was mismanaged. Clearly it wasn't handled well by Nico. If it was really about the offense and not liking Josh Heupel's offense, I mean, you knew what Josh Heupel's offense was going to be in January, in February, in the first transfer portal window. So not much has changed since then. I think it was definitely mismanaged. But now the exciting part is, for a guy like Nico, is that you've kind of become the laughing stock of NIL here for a few months. I mean, go have a career year at UCLA. Go prove everybody wrong and prove that you made the right choice.
Now, it's definitely a storyline we're going to watch to see what happens with Tennessee and also UCLA. But I think the biggest point of intrigue heading into this college football season, Adam Brenneman, is what Arch Manning is going to look like starting an entirety of a college football schedule, just because of how much hype that comes with him with his last name, going back to high school, even the last 2 years at Texas. What do you think Arch Manning is going to look like in his first true year as a starter with the Longhorns?
Yeah, I think he'll look great. He's my Heisman favorite right now. I think the thing that Arch brings to the table, and I was wrong about him. I did some you know, scouting and talking about Arch before last season, and really had him in the bucket of, you know, just because of his last name, probably, of that pocket passer who can't create, who is going to be kind of a progression guy going through his three reads and then, you know, throwing a check down. Where Arch really brings something to the game, we saw Texas use him on short yardage and in the red zone. He can run the football and he can create. And one of my favorite things when I'm scouting a quarterback, looking at a quarterback, I think to myself after watching him play, when things break down, do I believe that this guy can figure it out when nothing else is there? And the answer for Arch is yes. I think Arch Manning is an athletic guy. He's not a dual threat quarterback, but he's a capable runner who can create with his legs, who likes to keep his eyes downfield when he's creating with his legs. And I think will be a really good player in the SEC. So I'm excited to see how it plays out. Another great story. I like guys who maybe it wasn't always rainbows and butterflies. Like Arch was, you know, so much hype, so much excitement, doesn't start right away. So much talk about, is he managing his NIL right? Is he sitting behind Quinn Ewers? Is he going to transfer? And Arch just kind of stayed the course, kept showing up, kept working, kept learning that offense with Coach Sarkisian, and now he's going to have a chance to play on the biggest stage.
Adam Brenneman here with us. When we get to the NFL draft, which we're a week away, next Thursday, it will be round one of the NFL draft. The idea and feeling right now is that Cam Ward's going one with the Tennessee Titans, and now all the questions are, what will the Cleveland Browns do at two, and what will the Giants do at three? What's your best educated guess as we sit here a week out on what the Browns will do at two and what the Giants will do at three?
Yeah, I think the Browns go Abdul Carter at two. I think Abdul is a well, I guess I should say they should go Abdul Carter at two. I'm not sure what they actually will do, but I think Abdul is a guy who can completely change a franchise. He's a great edge rusher. He can make plays all over the field. He also brings some position versatility where he can play different spots on the defense. So I think they go Abdul Carter. The Giants is where it really gets interesting. You know, obviously from a quarterback standpoint, you look at the Giants and what do they really need? What do we think the Giants are gonna take from a position standpoint? I think that if the Browns go Abdul Carter at two, the Giants go Travis Hunter at three and take, you know, a generational talent who can impact the game and play both sides of the ball. I just don't think that, you know, teams are high enough on Shedeur Sanders to take him right there at two or three.
What's your evaluation, just wondering, of Shedeur Sanders? Because it felt like when the season ended, Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, it was 50-50. Clearly in the last few months, Cam Ward has pulled away. And I still thought Shedeur was going to be the pick to the Giants at three. Today, I don't think, like what you're saying, he is going to be the pick. And a lot of people start to feel as if Shedeur is going to fall. I think he could be a good quarterback at the next level. I'm not going to say great right now, but your evaluation of Shedeur, Adam Brenneman, is what?
Yeah, I think Shedeur Sanders is a great quarterback. I don't think he's a top five quarterback, a guy who warrants a top five pick. I have some concerns with intermediate and deep ball accuracy with him. I've seen him miss some throws in that range of the field. I think he's an okay athlete. He's not a great athlete. And, you know, I do think that for better or for worse, you have a lot of there's a lot of external evaluation that comes with Shedeur Sanders because of being Deion's son, because of the spotlight, because of the off-field things that, you know, some of it's been good, some of it's been okay. Like, there's just been a lot of chatter about Shedeur Sanders off the field, where it forces GMs and head coaches in the NFL, and I've heard them talk about this, forces you to evaluate a player almost more off the field than you are on the field, because you know, hey, if I miss on this guy, this could be a generational miss for our franchise. And I think that hurts Shedeur Sanders almost as much as it helps him with that big personality he has.
And let me be clear. I roll my eyes every time I hear people talk about off the field. Like, what's the off the field like prop? Like, what, that Deion's his father, and there's always going to be that maybe thought that maybe Deion will coach him in the pros. Yeah. And, you know, the kid has a big smile and he speaks his mind. Like, those are things I want out of my quarterback. I want a quarterback that has a lot of confidence, that is an alpha.
I agree. And I think that there's been no, like, serious off-the-field issues with Shedeur. So that phrasing wasn't great. I'll say I think there were moments in Shedeur's career, especially early last season, when you know, they had a tough game. Who was it?
Nebraska.
Nebraska game. There were some moments where I looked at Shedeur and didn't feel like I saw a guy who could go lead an NFL franchise because of some of the leadership traits, like some of the, you know, getting frustrated with his team. And there were moments and lapses. I'll say this, though, and I'm on the record talking about this. I thought that he really improved a lot of those areas throughout the season. I think after that Nebraska game, you know, that he was kind of moping around at times in that game, and it seemed like he was, you know, not too happy to be out there by the end of it. And I thought he really improved that body language, that leadership throughout the rest of the season. So, but as you said, that is what I think teams mean. It means that you're Deion Sanders' son, and there's always going to be chatter about Deion coming to coach in the NFL. And there's for better or for worse, whether it's warranted or not, there is more evaluation put on Shedeur Sanders externally and off the field than any other player in this draft.
So we talked about Abdul Carter. Personally, I think he's the best player in this draft, pound for pound. When we get also to your school in Penn State, Tyler Warren, I think he's also a top five player, but I don't think he'll go in the first five picks. I think the earliest he goes is 7, and I think the Jets would kind of be foolish to pass up on Tyler Warren with the 7th overall pick.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, Tyler Warren is generational for a lot of reasons, from his athleticism to how he can make plays. When I was talking to James Franklin, I said, what, you know, every great player to me has an elite characteristic. Like, they have to have something that's elite about them. And James Franklin's comment was, Tyler Warren's elite trait is that he doesn't have one, and that he's just great at everything. Like, every single thing that you could want him to do, he's great at it. He may not be an elite athlete, but he's pretty darn great at being a good athlete. He's got great body control. He can catch the ball, and he's so smart. So he can play so many different roles in an offense where you can teach him 7 spots, running back, fullback. He can play quarterback, wide receiver. He can play tackle over, left tackle. I mean, he got so many different things he can bring to an offense that I'm with you. I think he's a top 10 pick. I think he's a guy who can, you know, and also it's tough to make an impact that early or that much as a tight end. You know, to be a guy who's worthy of a top 10 pick, maybe even top 5. I mean, I've seen people having him go in the top 5. I've seen some of those mocks with the Jaguars. And I think that having a guy that can change the game like he can is pretty rare for the tight end position, and pretty rare to get drafted that high.
You know, and it's not obscure, right? Obviously, a quarterback, a wide receiver, a defensive end, a corner to go in the top 5, or, you know, or even the top 10. Obviously, it happens all the time. Running backs and tight ends, though, we don't see a lot of it in the top 10. We already talked about Warren, Ashton Jeanthi as well. I'll be shocked at this point if he's not the pick with the Raiders with the 6th overall selection.
Yeah, I think he's going to be. And listen, I saw the letter that Ashton Jeanthi wrote yesterday. It was great. He said, you know, it's tackle football. I think you should draft the guy no one can tackle. And it's the truth, man. I honestly wasn't as high on Ashton Jeanthi during the season last year. He was getting all the hype, playing at Boise State. Didn't think he had a great, you know, he wasn't playing great teams. You know, he didn't play great against when they played Penn State. It was kind of, you know, was trying up and down a little bit in my evaluation, but I hadn't watched that much of him. I just was kind of, you know, it was in-season evaluation. I turn on his film now, man, and this is a dude who's got serious juice. can change the game every time he touches the ball. And he's got so much explosiveness to him and how he runs the football, and it's so hard to tackle. I think he'd be a great pick for Vegas.
Yeah, I said it to him when he joined us on the show in September. He reminds me of a mix of an Alvin Kamara, a Marshawn Lynch, and a Derrick Henry. So those are three pretty good running backs to plug from.
That's a pretty good mix. That's a pretty good mix, though.
He's Adam Brenneman. Adam, appreciate the time. Thanks so much for jumping on with us.
Thanks, Zach.
All righty, there you go. Adam Brenneman joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll take a break. When we come on back, we'll give you my top five quarterbacks in this upcoming NFL draft.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.